Hi, welcome to the 2024 Virtual Region Convention and to our Seeking the Spiritual Path session. My name's Barbara, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'll be your moderator for this session. Welcome, everybody. So, our first speaker is Deanna. So, Deanna, the floor is yours.
Okay. Good afternoon, good morning, or good evening, wherever you may be. My name is Deanna C., and I am a grateful compulsive overeater. And I'm going to follow the format of what I used to be like, what happened, and what I am like now. So my disease really got triggered from a moderate to a hard compulsive eater after my pregnancy with my first child. In the early
Wow.
1990s, I began gaining 10 pounds a year until I reached my top weight of 291 pounds. I tried many experiments and remedies. The one I kept coming back to is Overeaters Anonymous. I've been in and out of the rooms for the past 30 years, and all that time, I was dieting and chasing a number on a scale. Then what happened? In early December of 2020, I was in a position where life had become impossible, and I had passed into the region from which there was no return through human aid. I had but two alternatives. One was to go to the bitter end, blotting out the consciousness of my intolerable solution as best I could. And the other alternative was to accept spiritual help. My grandmother lived to be 100 years old, and at the time I was 60. I decided that if I was going to live another 40 years, I no longer wanted to live like this. I made a few calls. One fellow 12-stepped me, and she simply said, "Just come back to the rooms." Here is an overview of the steps that I took to seek a spiritual path that led to my spiritual awakening and the ability to have a daily reprieve from the disease of compulsive overeating. First, by God's grace, I was able to set aside my shame and come back to a meeting on December 12, 2020. Second, I was able to find the courage to ask for a sponsor. My current sponsor and I began working together on December 14th, 2020. We talked every day for a year, and she is still walking with me today. Third, I answered yes to the following two questions. Do you want to stop compulsive eating for good and for all? Yes. And are you willing to go to any extreme to do so? Yes. And number four, I resigned from the debating society, prayed for the willingness to keep an open mind, and practice investigation before contempt. If my sponsor suggested something, I did it because I wanted what she had. Number five, I worked the steps using the AA Big Book. And number six, I started sponsoring and giving away the gift that I had been freely given. Throughout our first year working together, when I was frustrated with living life on life's terms without the crutch of compulsive overeating, my sponsor would lovingly remind me that experience has shown if I will work this simple program as a solution to the complex problem of compulsive overeating, I will see changes both inside and out. She was right. Slowly over time, without my knowledge or consent, I realized that working the steps was the spiritual path that enabled me to have a spiritual awakening. And I'll say that again. Working the steps was the spiritual path that enabled me to have a spiritual awakening. And this spiritual awakening is described in the AA 12 and 12 on page 106. And it reads, when a woman or man has, or any individual has a spiritual awakening, The most important meaning of it is that she has now become able to do, feel, and believe that which she could not do before on her unaided strength and resources alone. She has been granted a gift which amounts to a new state of consciousness and being. She has been set on a path which tells her she is really going somewhere, that life is not a dead end, not something to be endured or mastered. In a very real sense, she has been transformed because she has laid hold of a source of strength, which in one way or another, she had hitherto denied herself. She finds herself in possession of a degree of honesty, tolerance, unselfishness, peace of mind, and love of which she had thought herself quite incapable. That's a great description of my spiritual awakening. So, what I am like now? Since December 2020, I have released 95 pounds. And for the past 2 years, I have maintained the healthy body weight recommended by my doctor. Now, looking back at how far I've come, it would be tempting to think that I've arrived and to rest on my laurels. The truth is, I haven't arrived and I am not cured. What I have is a daily reprieve from the disease of compulsive overeating that is contingent on the maintenance of my spiritual condition. This means I will be working the steps every day, one day at a time, for the rest of my life. I try to live in steps 10, 11, and 12. Rituals and routines are my friend. I start the day with a third step prayer. Then I do four G's: good, a goal, a glitch, and three gratitudes. And then I write three I am statements. Things like, I am what survives me, I am God's beloved, and I am enough just as I am. Then I read AA and OA literature, reflect, and write. I'm in contact with my sponsor daily, and I sponsor. I make outreach calls and I take calls. I go to meetings and I do service. I try to practice the AA and OA principles in all areas of my life. That is how I maintain fit spiritual condition and keep my disease of compulsive overeating in remission. For me, my experience, strength, and hope is the spiritual path that leads to a spiritual awakening can be summarized in the last paragraph on page 164 in the AA Big Book. You've heard it, and it reads, abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. And I'm so grateful to be on the path with all of you, trudging the road. I need you and you need me. Thank you for allowing me to do service today. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Deanna. Our second speaker now is Zaina.
My name is Zaina. I'm a compulsive eater. I'm a food addict. I'm a grazer. I'm from Egypt, and I have been struggling with spirituality before I joined OA, and I didn't even know that. I didn't know that I was struggling with spirituality. Just to qualify, I was introduced to OA in April or May 2017. I attended my first face-to-face meeting in September the same year, and I started my first round of abstinence, as I knew it, in November 2017. And I've been in and out of abstinence because I was struggling, by using my own will, by using my own power, until about October 2020. That's when I have had my, since then I've had my back-to-back abstinence, and it feels easy because simply I'm connecting with my higher power. I was born and raised into a Muslim family. My family is conservative, but not fanatic. They're very tolerant of everything. My childhood, I grew up in the 90s, and my childhood was very, very beautiful. It was very innocent. I was just boys and girls play, ride bicycles, try roller skates. My parents put me into swimming classes, into karate classes, and also in the summer they would send me to the mosque to learn the Quran. And it was a very small mosque, and the sheikh who used to teach us, he would always bring us sweets and candies and good things to encourage us to read and memorize the Quran. That's the Muslim holy book. And I'm sorry if I'm going to get into politics a little bit, but it's part of my experience. Life was so good until I was about 14 or 15 years old, a teenager, a child. But back then, there was a very strong wave of ultra conservatism, ultra fanaticism from the East. The eastern part of the Arab world. And everybody became very, very tough. Everybody became very aggressive in their own faith. And during the time, most of the girls I know started wearing headscarves, even young ones, as young as 12 or 13. And during that time, I put on the headscarf. I started wearing it, the hijab. And I was persuaded into believing that it was my choice, because everybody was doing it. But it wasn't. There was a wave everywhere. And religion, I used to do the five prayers a day, and I loved doing them. They were part of my ritual. They were part of my day as brushing my teeth, brushing my hair. But for some reason, this wave that changed me, it became very dry. There was nothing spiritual about it. It was about right and wrong. You wear nail polish, but everything that has to do with connection with a higher power, with God, was not present anymore. Like I said, it was very dry, and I was very lost. I was very confused. Moving forward, during that time, I developed my eating disorder. I didn't know what it was. I was 15, or 14. It was my first year of high school. And during one summer, I gained about 20 kilos. That's 44 pounds, or even more. During one summer, just a summer vacation. The summer before, I was in shorts, riding bicycles in the neighborhood. This summer, everybody told me that I became a woman and I should stay home because this is what God wants. And I gained a lot of weight. I started eating compulsively. I didn't know what was going on. I thought I was gaining weight because, I don't know, growth spurt or whatever it's called. And I kept struggling with my weight, and my weight has been synonymous with me. So if you, it's in my head, like in my head, Zaina, the fat girl who needs to lose weight. And I was in and out of diets. Every single diet there is, I tried. I tried everything except connecting with a higher power. Until OA, I stumbled up across OA by accident on Facebook. And I joined the groups and I realized there is a group in Egypt. And the first woman who connected me with the group in Egypt has become one of my very best friends now. And in OA, I learned about higher power. In OA, I attended meeting with people from different cultures, different languages, and they speak one language, higher power language, connection. And only then I started to understand the real meanings of my own faith. In Arabic, the word for prayer is salah. And salah in Arabic, or salat in Arabic, means connection. The literal meaning of the word salah is connection. So for 5 times a day, I connect with my higher power. I connect with myself. As I understand it, I connect with my fellows. The other word for prayer in Arabic is dua, is not the ritualistic prayer, but just simply raise my hands and just look down and say whatever I want. And it also made me realize things that I learned as a child during my innocence, that the only condition for your prayer to be accepted is that you have to believe 100% that it's going to be accepted, it's going to be answered. Just like tradition three says, the only requirement is the desire to stop eating compulsively. So this is it. A few years ago, I think it 2 years ago, I started working with my current sponsor. And the only requirement I requested of a sponsor is someone within the same time zone as I am and someone who would help me with spirituality. And she helped me a lot. We don't speak the same language. We communicate through our lingua franca, through English. We do not belong to the same faith, but she helped me a lot. Like she told me that the moment she opens her eyes, she connects with her higher power. The moment she opens her eyes, not the moment she gets out of bed. And I started doing that. They're very simple steps, but when I do them, they really work. So this is the spiritual path for me. Just the moment I open my eyes, I remember my higher power. I remember who I am. I remember my strength and my limits, my limitations. Through OA, I learned about the two-way prayer and the idea that my higher power speaks to me through my writing was very new to me. And for some reason, for some people, it can be considered as taboo. But like OA taught me to keep an open mind. I not only try to keep an open mind, but I try to keep an open heart as well. And I tried the two-way prayer and I introduced my fellows in Egypt to it. And now we have a weekly meeting about the two-way prayer. People from a Middle Eastern culture, with whatever religion we have, we are very conservative, yet we accept the two-way prayer because we know we have a shared struggle. We have a shared connection with a higher power and with one other to seek the spiritual path. So the footwork I do is simply pray every day whenever I feel like it. Before this session, I was feeling very nervous. I contacted my sponsor and she suggested that we pray together, and we did. And here I am. Thank you so much for listening to me. And thank you for making this convention and this session happen. Thank you so much. Have a good night.
Thank you so much, Zaina. And our third speaker is Alan. Alan, would you please come on up?
Thank you. My name is Alan, Gold Silver Eater. And I'll tell you a little bit about what I was and how my path changed me drastically. Let me qualify first as an OAer, because I came into these rooms. I was 562 pounds. I've been abstinent 23 months, 6 days, coming up on 2 years. And I've released 279 pounds. If you saw my picture earlier, you've noticed that the one in the upper right-hand corner was me wearing a size 74 pants and sitting on a chair that have never figured out to this day how I managed to hold me. People must have been praying because it's the only way it helped. Only way it held me up. Got to see you, Michael. Keep, talking slow is going to be hard for me. I'm a New Yorker. I grew up in New York. I currently live in Jackson, Mississippi, the other end of the world for a lot of people. Love it here. Came here and I met my wife. My angel will be married 32 years now. She's put up with me at least that long. Hopefully, will put up with me longer. I was raised in a home where it was a religious home, but it wasn't. Well, let me back up. I'm also a Presbyterian minister, which is one of the reasons I was chosen to speak here. There's not a lot of us in OA that I know of, at least. But I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I won't go into detail about where I was raised, but I was raised in a home where religion was important, but it was always based on performance. At least it was for me. And I loved it. It was where how I was. It was my life. It was my culture. But as I was growing up, not only did I become a compulsive overeater, but I also became adult survivor of abuse. My mother was hooked on pain medicine, was never there. My father became a child abuser. Let's say he just covered all the different places. Physical, emotional, and spiritual. Sexual, that's the other one. Covered all the bases. And I just began to reach the point where I just couldn't understand how higher power could let this happen, how God could let this happen. And at 19 years old, I tried to commit suicide. I took a knife to my wrist and tried to end it. Fortunately, God also made me a coward. So when I saw enough blood, I couldn't go through with it. But the thing was is that I only hated myself that much more because I couldn't even commit suicide correctly. Right about that time, I started looking for answers. I needed to find answers. I checked out everything under the sun. Any kind, every religion, every kind of anything. Looking for answers, and I couldn't find it. About the same time, I came into OA for the first time. Came into OA, and I had a gosh, I showed up in an OA meeting only because somebody talked me into it, not because I wanted to be there. I showed up there, the place was locked up, I was getting ready to leave. I thought I've done, that's all I have to do. And some dear little lady pulled up in her car, jumped out, put her arm around me, and wouldn't let me leave till after it was opened, unlocked, and the meeting was starting. They kept telling me I wanted the diet plan. They said, "Come back. We'll have we don't have one here, but we'll have one next week." This was during grade sheet days. Came back the next week. They told me the same thing again. Before I knew it, I kept coming back, and I had a sponsor, and I was working the steps. To this day, I've never seen the gray sheet. I think I'm okay. I'm working my program today. But during the time we're searching for an answer, I was babysitting for this fa family. I always loved children. And the little blonde-haired little girl asked me to read our bedtime story. And it was from a children's Bible. Never read it before, New Testament before ever. As far as I'm concerned, it's forbidden. And I was ready when her mom came home to argue with her over it. You know, this can't be real. This doesn't make any sense. All I know is the little girl went to sleep and I was still sitting there reading out loud to her because something caught me. You see, I was raised that God was a righteous God. God was angry God. God loved his people. But I never heard anything about loving me. I couldn't love me. How could he love me? Especially enough, it's telling me he loved me enough to die for me. Didn't make sense. I couldn't understand it. I kept putting that up and saying it's forbidden. I can't read this. But coming back to it because I desperately needed to know that kind of love. And meantime, while in OA, I was doing the first three steps. And I kind of understood that self-will and right is what would run my life. I was got, trying to make God myself God in my life. Obviously, it didn't work. And about the same time I decided I was going to let go of that, it was the same time it was time to take the third step. And all huge me got on my knees and decided, God, you take control, take my life. It's changed my life because I needed to know what is to be loved. I need to know what to be cared for. You know, there's a quote that we use that says, what is the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Well, a lot of people talk about the glorifying part, but the part that's most precious to me is enjoying him forever. You know, I never knew what it was to have a father. And I had to struggle with that. So I had to say, what is a father really like? And it was amazing to realize that my God loved me like a father. He cared about me. He was concerned about me. And even at first it was just doing for him. And then I found out it's like, well, can I do other fun stuff too? And it's like, wow, like a father and son, we want to do things together. Because I believe he walks with me each day and each moment. And he's there in my heart. I don't want to run over time. I just want to share one other thing, two other things. First of all, I start each day now in my program because more than ever, that's changed me. As I've been working the steps and losing the weight, my preaching, my prayer time, my everything is changing drastically. You know, you can't draw water from dry well. Now there's water in the well because I'm putting myself aside, putting him first. I love the first four words of another important book for me. It says, first four words are in the beginning, God. And that's how I start each day. It has to be. If I put me first, I'm going to go back where I was. And my other favorite thing, because this is how I'm trying to make my life be, describes how I want my life to be. And it's the 11th step prayer that you find in the big 12 and 12. And I'm going to read that. That's okay. Lord, make me a channel of thy peace. Though there is hatred, I might bring love. Where there is wrong, I may bring the spirit of forgiveness. Though where there is discord, I may bring harmony. Though where there is error, I may bring truth. Though where there is doubt, I may bring faith. Though where there is despair, I may bring hope. Where there is shadows, I may bring light. Where there is sadness, I bring joy. Lord, grant that I might seek rather to comfort than to be comforted, to understand than to be understood, to love than to be loved. For it is by self-forgetting that one finds, it is by forgiving that one is forgiven, it is by dying that one awakens to eternal life. Amen. And that's my spiritual path. It's still growing, it's still changing, and it will be forever. Somebody that wanted to die now learns to live and helps to share out, find other people that are hurting and share that love with them too. Because what isn't that what always all about? Hope, a future, and forgiveness. And I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Alan. Thank you to all of our speakers, your beautiful shares and your vulnerability. We appreciate your service. We'll now open the floor for a question and answer session. Deanna, they asked, could you please repeat the three questions that you mentioned? And also, if you have any page and book references, I believe you had a quote there about those.
So the two questions that I answered yes to were, do you want to stop compulsive eating for good and for all? And that comes from the AA Big Book. And are you willing to go to any extreme to do so? That is also in the AA Big Book. And then the quote that I read about spiritual awakening was in the AA 12 and 12 on page 106. And the last quote was from the AA Big Book as well, and on page 164, the abandon yourself to God. So the four G's were a good, something good that happened, a goal for the day, A glitch is something that maybe happened bad yesterday where I may owe an amends or need to do a review. And three gratitudes. And then I also do three I ams.
There is a newcomer who's looking for what meeting Deanna attends, if she'd be willing to share that.
I attend the Vision for You meetings. They are 5 days a week in the mornings, and they can be found at A Vision, the number 4 YOU. If you Google that, you will find it. And those are the meetings that I attend.
Great, thank you, Deanna. Zaina, this is for you. Someone is asking, could you give a little more information about two-way prayer that you mentioned?
The two-way prayer is a meeting. It's usually for all 12-step programs, and you just attend a meeting. There is a silent meditation for 5 to 10 minutes where we listen to music. During this time of silent meditation, I ask myself a question, I write it down, and then I have 10 minutes to write down the answers to my question. And those answers are usually directed to me. Directed to me from my higher power. Dear Zaina, you asked for a car. Am I going to have a car in 2024? And then I keep writing whatever I feel inspired to write. And these answers, whatever I write down, is the inspiration that I get from my higher power. I learned this from meetings. It's called a two-step prayers. I think it's twostepprayer.com, something like that. So if you can Google it, you'll find several meetings, and I attend local meetings in Arabic in Egypt, about the two-step prayers.
Great. Thank you very much. And I believe Deanna wanted to add to that as well.
There's another very simple form of two-step prayer that I use. I start out by with the prompt, Dear God, and then free form write whatever comes to mind, and I sign Love Deanna or whatever salutation you have. And then I look for God's reply, and it starts out with Dear Deanna, and I write whatever comes to mind, and then Love God. And I trust that whatever is in my consciousness from the Dear God, Love Deanna, and Dear Deanna, Love God, that's the two-way interchange with God, and I keep going until the conversation is finished.
Great, thank you so much. Let's see. Oh, so this is an open question, I think, for any speaker. How do you relate the chapter We Agnostics when sponsoring new sponsees who do not embrace a higher power?
I'll share one of the things that I look at is if you're a seeker, you will find. You don't have to know the answer. You're living in the question. So what I say to folks who say, I don't believe in a higher power, I say, what brings you joy? Or what gives you your life meaning and purpose? Or what outside of yourself do you lean on sometimes? And you can make that your higher power for now. And if you still can't find anything, you can trust the group to be your higher power as you go on the path to finding what it is for you. I trust that over time, you will find that definition for you and that the answer lies within you.
So, Alan, this question is for you. There's a thank you for sharing. Can you speak to how does one find a higher power when they have lost faith? Any additional thoughts on that?
I guess for me, what I would share is that basically it's just being open. You know, there's like Deanna said, if you seek, you will find. You don't have to understand. I have to realize that I can't be God. It won't work that way. So I have to be open to saying is there's something else. Whatever I want to describe it as, whether it's the meaning, the group, the 12 steps, the traditions, whatever it is something outside of me. And if my heart's open and I'm willing to learn, I'll be taught. You got to start somewhere. The first step of it is admitting, like the verse used to, I can't, God can, I think I'll let him. That's my life. That's how you start. That's how you find faith. I can't. God can. I think I let it. Who that God is, how you define it, HP, or just don't call him George. Well, you could call him George, but it just sounds strange to me. But whatever you want to call him, or whatever you want it to be, start there. And when you open, you're ready, you'll know the truth.
Great, thank you very much. Are there any recommendations? This is for any of the speakers on how to find OA members that follow non-major religious beliefs, like atheist, pagan, Buddhist, other beliefs. Any other ideas on finding other OA members? Helen.
I'll answer that. I would say it's very simple. Go to some meetings. I go to about 12 meetings a week. Not everybody can. I can. Keeps me out of the food. But I run into people with every kind of background. I did a 12-step workshop, and I spoke on a prayer. Well, the first person that spoke on prayer was from a Buddhist tradition. We had all kinds of people in the group. And that there's people I know in OA that don't believe in God, believe their higher power is nature. There are others who believe their higher power is the group and everything in between. We're a very mixed group, and everybody's just trying to find their path and find the way. Show up, and they'll find you.
Great, Deanna.
Well, I'm also going to say my sponsor and I do not share the same spiritual beliefs. I have come to believe that that's not that important. She does have what I want. So find somebody that has what you want and do what they say to do. And I heard this saying recently from, and some of you may have heard it as well. If somebody is ready to be sponsored, Mickey Mouse could sponsor them and they will recover. And if they're not ready, Bill W could sponsor them and they won't recover. So the bigger issue is, for me over time has not been the sponsor or whether or not they share the same spiritual belief as me, but whether or not I'm ready, willing, and honest to do the next steps.
Great. Thank you very much.
Can I add to that one thing
Yes.
briefly? My sponsor was a hardcore atheist. He laughs because he says, "How the heck did I agree to be your sponsor?" But we get along great. It works wonderfully. So it doesn't matter, just as long as you're working the same program and you're open.
That's great. We've got a couple more questions in just a couple more minutes. So, to all three speakers or any of the three speakers, how difficult was it to find for you to find your higher power? Zaina, step right up.
Oh, that's a very good question. I always had a higher power, but for so many years I was angry at this higher power. Like, where are you? Why aren't you stepping up? Why are you giving good stuff to bad people? And I'm a good person. You're not giving me anything. So I was just so angry with my higher power. But when I worked the program, I learned that it's all my ego that has been blinding me away from seeing my higher power as he really is. And I just try to be open to whatever incidents happen around me. I try to see how things really are, not how I want to see them. And it was because of back then I used to have an extremely negative mindset. I don't have this mindset now. Of course, I have days of where I'm very negative, but I don't see everything like completely dark as I used to. And this is where I found my higher power. Thank you.
Wonderful, thank you. And yes, Alan, did you want to share on
Okay.
that?
There was a price I paid for my spiritual path. When I made the decision I did, my family, extended family, such, well, as far as they were concerned, I was dead. But it was a choice I took willingly. It was, do I choose them or do I choose to be loved and a new life, a new hope? I choose life. And I really believe that he found me more than I found him. He was just there waiting. I just had to open my eyes and see.
Great. Thank you, Alan. And then, so our final question of the hour is there a difference for you? And we just have, we have 4 minutes left. Is there a difference for you between your spiritual higher power and program and your religious higher power?
Well, for me, I will say, and I'm not sure if this is answering it, for the there is a difference to me between religion and spirituality. I too am a religious leader, and religion to me has to do with rituals, oftentimes, and sets of rules. Oftentimes, those are influenced by human beings. Spirituality can be very different for many people because that focuses on relationship. And some don't see that definition the same, but a person can be religious and spiritual and really focused on the relationship aspect, or they can be religious and focused on the rules and not so much on the relationship. So I do find that there's a difference. And many religions focus on relationship, but sometimes human beings take it to the extreme and focus on rules instead. So, you can have the same higher power in both situations, or sometimes when it's so focused on rules, the loving aspect of the spiritual relationship gets bumped out. So that's the hard part. I hope that helps a little bit.
Well, I want to thank again everyone who attended this webinar. Thank you to the speakers. You gave us so much today, and to all those doing service, lots of folks in the background there. So thank you to all of them.